Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavallabha Iri Vardhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Teeravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Nashta Prayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 12, Chapter 6 Entitled Maharaj Parikshit Passes Away Text Number 26 Sarpachoragni Vidyubhya Shutrut Vyadhyadhi Virinrupa Panchatvam Ritchate Jantur Bukta Arabdha Karmatat Sarpachoragni Vidyubhya Shutrut Vyadhyadhi Virinrupa Panchatvam Ritchate Jantur Bhukta Arabdha Karmatat Sarpa Chauragni Vidyudbhya Kshutrud Vyadhyadi Vinrpa Panchatvam Ritchate Jantur Bhukta Arabdha Karmatat Sarpachauragni Vidyudbhya word-to-word meaning, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, is Disciples of Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sarpa, from snakes. Chaura, thieves. Agni, fire. Vidyudbhya, and lightning. Kshut, from hunger. Trit, thirst. Vyadhi, disease. Adibhi, and other agents. Nripa, O king. Panchatvam, death. Richate, obtains. Zantuhu, the conditions living entity. Bhungte, he enjoys. Arabdha, already created by his past work. Karma, the fruitive reaction. Tat, that. Translation. When a conditioned soul is killed by snakes, thieves, fire, lightning, hunger, disease, or anything else, he is experiencing the reaction to his own past work. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, King Parikshit obviously was not suffering the reactions of past karma. As a great devotee, he was personally brought back home, back to Godhead by the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jayasri Krishna Chaitanyam Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone to our Srimad Bhagavatam class. Here the verse says, when a conditioned soul is killed by snakes, thieves, fire, lightning, hunger, disease, or anything else, he is experiencing the reaction of his own past work. Arabdha karmatat. So, in this world, it's very easy to notice one thing, that is a cause and effect. We can see that rain is coming. So there is a cause behind it, that's a cloud. The clouds are forming because the ocean water is evaporated and that clouds are forming. So every reason, there is a cause behind it. Every effect, there is a cause behind it. Right? Somebody good scores very good in the exam. Some comes to top in some difficult examination like IIT, JEE or UPSC. So immediately, others want to know what he did to come first. So because there is some cause to it. So intuitively we know for every effect there is a cause. So naturally, then we want to know what is the cause behind the variety in this world. Right? America's slogan, America says that everyone is born equal. But is it really true? Everyone is born equal. Some are black, some are white, some are wealthy, some are poor, some are beautiful, some are ugly. So there is a lot of variety. So what is that explains this variety? This cause of effect, science is nothing but the extension of this principle of cause and effect, where they encapsulate the reasons in the form of laws. Therefore, there are laws for physics law, thermodynamics laws, all the laws are there. Right? So similarly, what is that law which governs this variety? What decides the variety in this world? So that mechanism which determines this, what we call is the law of karma. In simple words, it's every action, there is a reaction. Whatever you do, that may be very simplest, whatever the daily activities what we do. So there is a reaction for every action. So what is that law of karma? Is like a credit card we have. Whatever we purchase, right, we may purchase grocery, we may purchase, take a petrol, drive. Whatever we do, everything is billed and eventually you get a bill which we have not ordered. Right? So it is like a credit card which it is our purchases only which is recorded and given us, or the mobile data balance. Jab tak data hai, tab tak you can do whatever you like. But when the data got over, then all your activity stops. So similar, this karma is like the balance stock which is there, or of the karma tat. And everyone is accounted for it. There are no free lunches as it is said. In one hotel it was written that you eat, bill will be paid by the next person. Right? A person saw this, was very happy, he came and he had to his full satisfaction, and about he was going, so that the waiter gave the bill. Then he said, but you have written that the bill will be paid by the next person. He said, this is the bill which is given by the previous person. Right? So there are no free lunches. I was downloading one app, it was written free app. So I was downloading that app, and then the pop-up came, which tell they accept the clause. So I thought, it is a free, means we have to be really careful. So I was going through that clauses, and it was written, free means not price. Free means free to edit and develop. Right? So there are no free things in this world. If something is free, then it is at the cost of our freedom. And they will take our personal data, or they will impose on the advertisements. So there are nothing free. So similarly, every action, it is accountable, it is count, and we get the reaction for that. And that is what we call as the law of karma. Many people say that, but I want to know why I am suffering, which is that activity which made me suffer. Right? I don't know, you are saying I am suffering because of the law of karma, but I don't know which karma I have done. Right? So therefore, Bhagavad Gita says, Gahana karma no gati. It's very complicated because one action can result to the many reactions, and the many reactions can be combined with the one action. And the one action can span the reaction for multiple lifetimes. Example of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra got a curse that 100 sons will die. But to have 100 sons, he needs a sufficient amount of piety. For that he has to spend many lifetimes to get the piety. Then he got the piety, got the 100 sons, and that effect came into that that effect acted, and his 100 sons died. Right? So similarly, one action can span for the long span of time. Once one thief was caught by the police, and he was sentenced to the jail. He was in the jail, and in the jail, the jail keeper started beating him. He said, "Why are you beating me?" He said, "Because you have stole, you have theft, you have done theft." So he said, then after 1 week, again he started beating. He said, why are you beating? He said, "You have done a theft, but you have already beaten for me that." So he said, "This is a dividend. That is initial investment. This is a monthly dividend you are getting." So one reaction, one action, multiple reactions. Right? And there can be multiple actions combined into one reaction. And top of that, there is intentions. Just because someone is murdered doesn't mean that he has to be hanged. That may have happened by accident. or that he may have by mistake he must have committed, or he may be child, minor. So doesn't mean that every action has a equal and opposite reaction. Every action has a reaction, but it doesn't mean that it is an equal and opposite reaction. It depends on the intention. So whole thing makes so complicated that Krishna says, Gahana Karma Nogati. But one thing is sure, that it is like a web in which the insect, when comes in, when insect comes and sticks to the cobweb, that is the only time he is most safe. As soon as he starts to get out of it and moves his hands and legs, it becomes more and more complicated and caught in that web. Right? But if the web is driven by someone else, our situation is like that the silkworm. That silkworm creates that silk around him, cocoon, himself. So here, this cobweb is created by us only. It is not someone else. Right? So therefore, the cause of this karma is we only. And what we call, right, someone, if karma is causing a death, we are causing the karma, means we are causing our death. There was one incident, interesting case of a death. There was one person named Ronald Opus. So he decided to commit suicide. He jumped from the 10th floor and he wrote even suicide note, that I want to commit this suicide. He jumped down, but he didn't know that there is a net on the 8th floor. He fell in the net, and when the examining officer saw, actually he was dead because of a gunshot which crossed through his head. So first it was death, suicide, because it was sin notice, but now there is something else because there is a gunshot. He said it is mostly homicide or murder. Right? So then further investigation revealed that there lived a couple on the 9th floor, and the old couple, and the husband was threatening his wife that I will kill you if you don't follow. They were having a fight, and that fight, that old man shot the shot, but that missed the lady and crossed the window and killed this Ronald Opus, who was flying down at the 9th floor. All right. So then what? Then this is not a suicide. This is a murder by this old man. When this couple was interrogated, they were adamant that actually we never loaded the gun. We thought this gun is unloaded, and it is our regular practice. Whenever we fight, I thread this. So the wife was also said this is regular, and the husband also said this is regular. So then this is a new term. So after further investigation, it is realized that some eyewitness has seen before 10-15 days that the son of this couple had actually loaded the gun. He was completely aware that the father has this habit. What had happened is that the mother has cut financial support of the son. Son became angry and he wanted to end the mother, and he therefore loaded the gun. Someday father will become angry and shoot. So now it was very clear that this murder is due to this son, and he has intentionally put. So it is clearly the case of murder. So the further investigation revealed, and actually turn twist in the story is that son of this couple was same Ronald Opus. So here, that he himself killed himself by the gunshot. Something like this happens every condition. So we are actually killing ourselves by our karma. So in this verse, particular verse, he is giving the various reasons. There can be snake bite, which is common in the villages, and fire accidents, let us say fire accident happen, right? So then the murder due to thieves or any other reasons, right? So these are the various reasons: hunger, starvation, disease, which is also very common, right? And terminal diseases, accidents, electric shock. These are the reasons, but these are all the immediate causes. They are the instruments, like that old man who is shooting. Okay? So he is not the actual culprit, as it is said. So these are all the instruments, and the real culprit is our own karma. So here he is Brihaspati saying that not to blame Takshak, not to blame Sringi, not to blame anyone else, even the Kashyap or the Takshak or Sringi, but this is the activities of karma for conditioned souls. So therefore, though karma is there, but what is important, how that karma principle is applied in the scriptures. We learn karma from scriptures, so we have to learn this application from the scriptures. Right? So what stressed in the scriptures is the dharma. That karma should inspire us to dharma. Nehayat karma dharmaya. Right? So the activities, the karma principle should be applied to for a flourishment of dharma. So we say see the example of Vasudev Devaki. Right? They were suffering. So when the Kamsa took the sword and about to kill Devaki, so Vasudev didn't say, karma hai jo bhi ho jayega, karma ke hisab se hoga. No. He understood what is his dharma. Mrityur buddhi mayo payo yavad buddhi balobayam yadi aso nivarteta na pradasti dehina. So basically, till the point whatever our intelligence is there, whatever our strength is there, we should try to protect our body. That is dharma. So he tried with all his means, and eventually when he was not ready to listen, so he agreed to give the children to Kamsa. So what is emphasized in the scriptures is the dharma. Right? So like that, many incidences we can see in this, and when it's like a equalizing. If people don't do action, that same principle of karma activates them to dharma. And those do over action, similarly the same principle cuts them to the dharma. Like Janamejaya. He was doing overreacting, so the same principle of karma cuts and puts him to the dharma. So again, many times this discussion comes, natural death, unnatural death. What is natural death? What is unnatural death? Here it is mentioning, arabdha karmatap. Generally snake bite, murder, accident, we think it is an unnatural death. But here scriptures are telling, that is natural death. What is the death? Death by definition is the end of prarabdha karma. So prarabdha karma end, that is a natural death. So what is not the natural death is a suicide. Because that is not the end of karma, that is a beginning, that is a karma. Death is a reaction, suicide is an action. So that is a natural death. But all other deaths, as per scriptures, we can say it is a natural death. Here purport says that the Parikshit Maharaj is not suffering due to his karma. Parikshit Maharaj is not suffering due to his karma. It's very simple. That from early days in Krishna consciousness, we know by the chanting of holy name, all the reactions are destroyed. Kichit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agam dhurvanti kasnena niharam iva bhaskara. Just by chanting one holy name, all the reactions are destroyed. Even scriptures, they get the reactions which we even not, sins which we have not even committed in the future, that also will be destroyed. That is the potency of the holy name. So then how come there's a one who is being a bhajan, there can be a prarabdha karma? Bhaktira Samrit Sindhu says that all the reactions at all four stages, aprarabdha, kutam, bijam, and including prarabdha, all other processes can destroy these three. Aprarabdha, kutam, and bijam. But prarabdha karma which manifests, even dhyana cannot destroy. That they have to experience. But bhakti can actually even destroy the prarabdha karma. So then one may ask, if the prarabdha karma is destroyed, then how the body is existing? When the prarabdha karma is destroyed, then the body should crumble. But it's because of the inconceivable potency of Lord that body is existing for the devotees without the prarabdha karma. But the devotee is also going suffering. Right? They are also going suffering. So then what is causing their suffering? That is, what is the reason for their suffering? The reason for their suffering is given by the happiness and distress which comes to the devotee's life. It is directly given by Krishna. Bhagavat utta shubha shubha. That is what the Shruti says. So the happiness and distress of a devotee is given by Krishna himself. So then question comes, why Krishna gives miseries to his devotees? Happiness to nobody questions. But the why he gives miseries to the devotees? Right? Answer is that because he loves us. Because he loves us. So what kind of love this is? Right? He's like one who loves and gives sufferings to the beloved. What kind of love is this? Isn't it? So like there is a English singer who sings that I don't know why, but I love to see you cry. Is the Krishna lover like this? No, Krishna is the topmost lover. Right? He act just like when people fall in love. Right? They first come across the internet, then phone, then meeting. Right? And then they start exchanging gifts. So similarly, Krishna, some program here and there, we come across in contact. Then we start chanting, connecting to Krishna, right? Coming to the deities, starting rendering services. We start serving Krishna. The services to Krishna are like our gifts to Krishna. Right? In a relationship, we give gifts. No? So the services are nothing but the gift to Krishna. And Krishna also in return gives us the gifts. And these gifts are Krishna's, these sufferings. These sufferings are nothing but the gifts of Krishna for his beloved. Oh, we can say they are just, it is a term difference, right? No? People are suffering outside because of their karma, and here Krishna is giving a gift. Both are suffering, no? That is the reality. No, the suffering of a conditioned soul due to karma is separate from the suffering which Lord is giving to his devotees as a gift. First difference is that every action, there is a reaction, and along with that reaction, there is a seed of another reaction, that is a desire. Or vasana is generated. But when that suffering comes because of Krishna's intervention, so then that residue of reaction is not there. Another point is that anyone who performs karma, he is destined to go to hell. Hellish sufferings are there. But Krishna doesn't give extreme suffering. He gives just a token. One may say, okay, devotees are even dying with the cancer, accident, so many ghastly things are happening. But compared to the hellish suffering, it is nothing but a token. And Krishna assures no devotee will go to the hell, whatever the condition he may be. Yamaraj has already told Yamdutas. So that extreme suffering is not given by Krishna. He gives the suffering as a token. Krishna's suffering is given like a beating of a mother. Mother beats a child, but that is not a suffering actually. Not like an enemy beating. Karma is like an enemy beating. But the mother beating is like a suffering given by the Krishna. This suffering given by Krishna is like a nectar actually. And the karma is like a poison. Kunti Maharani says she is aspiring for the more and more suffering. Because she is experiencing the nectar in that. Okay? Still, Uchtai Bhak, why me? I don't have taste. I don't have any. Still, why you want to give me suffering? Right? Well said and done. But why I want this suffering? I don't want this suffering. Right? So then Acharya has come to our help. The Vishwanatha Thakur gives the five reasons why devotees suffer. First is to glorify the devotees. Krishna gives this suffering to glorify the devotees. Example, we can take Parikshit Maharaj. Now, Parikshit Maharaj, he died in the womb only. And it is Krishna who revived him. So already he has prarabdha karma is destroyed. Whatever body he is having, it is not result of prarabdha karma. It was due to Krishna's grace. And in his own life he has not committed any sin. So he is experiencing that actually Krishna, he is living by the Krishna's will. Not as a result of prarabdha karma. And even his death is orchestrated by Krishna himself in such a way that he is a celebrity. As Prem Gaurang Goswami, celebrity. So he made him the celebrity. So Krishna gives the suffering to glorify them. He is glorified by seeing his response when the curse was pronounced by the Sringi. Tasseva me yagasya para varesho vyasakta chittasya griheshu abhikshnam nirveda mulo dvijashaparupo yatra prasakto bhayam ashudatte. At the prime of his youth, when he got this curse, he could actually see that this is meant for me to detach from this family life and take exclusive shelter of Krishna. He used Parikshit Maharaj to descend Srimad Bhagavatam, who is nothing but non-separate from Krishna. Right? So in this way we see actually whole scene was orchestrated. Now Sringi got implicated, now Kashyap got implicated, now Takshak got implicated, nobody got implicated. But Parikshit Maharaj is glorified. So unless gold is put into the fire, you cannot know which is what is the quality of gold. So therefore, unless Krishna gives these sufferings to the devotees, their glory cannot come and stand out. So therefore, Krishna gives this suffering to devotees to glorify them. We see, take the example of Bhishma. So Bhishma, he was pierced through the arrows. Practically every pore of his body was pierced through the arrows. He fell on the ground, on the bed of arrows. And that time, he orchestrated in such a way that Yudhishthira Maharaj, he get confused and he want to know about Dharma, and Krishna personally brings all the Pandavas well decorated before Bhishma. All the great sages come and the Yudhishthira Maharaj is inquiring from Bhishma, glorifying Bhishma in a unique way that see here, he is in intense pain but yet his intelligence is fixed on Dharma and he is more capable to speak on Dharma than any of the sages. So in this way, Krishna glorified Bhishma in that situation also. Bhishma's life was filled with criticism, right? He taken a vow of celibacy. He could have acted like a Yadu and given rejected the father's order, right? He spoiled the life of Amba. Then he didn't support during the gambling match. He fought with his spiritual master. There are so many things. He fought against Krishna in the battlefield. If you see, what was the strength of Duryodhana? He's a personified Adharma. His strength was nothing but Bhishma and Dronacharya, who are practicing confused Dharma. Right? So most of the time it happens that we end up supporting Adharma. We end up supporting Adharma. Most of the time Dharma in itself is not strong, but it takes support from, and Adharma itself is not strong, but it takes support from the people who actually practice so-called Dharma. Right? So in this way he's criticized various places. But at the end Krishna ensured that by these arrows of Arjuna actually all the criticism put to rest. And what remained is his glory. And everyone could see crystal clear the glory of Bhishmadev. And he doesn't appear as a... He's fighting to Krishna. How can he be a devotee? But at the last moment Krishna showed the inner heart of the Bhishma, which is filled with the love and affection for Krishna. So in this way, Krishna uses these sufferings to glorify devotees. Then Pandavas went through all kinds of sufferings, whole life. Vishan, Mahagne, Purushada, Darshanad, Asat Sabayam, Vanvasa Krishito, Mrde Mrde Neka, Mahan, Ratastratro, Dronyastra, Tashchasma, Harebi Rakshita. So they went through all the sufferings. But why Krishna made them to suffer like this? In order to glorify them only. At the end, the credit of Mahabharata goes to whom? Pandavas. Credit of Mahabharata goes to whom? Pandavas only. Right? Krishna's, on the battlefield, actually Krishna told Arjuna that you kill, they are dead. I am going to kill anyway. You fight, you kill, you take the credit. So you see in various examples, Krishna gives this various kinds of suffering to devotees to glorify them. The second reason is to intensify devotion of devotees. We can see the example of Narad Muni. When four months this Bhaktivedanta stayed, Narad Muni got their association, he got the seed of devotional service, but after they went, he was actually dependent on the mother. And but Krishna arranged in such a way that the snake bites the mother and mother is dead. It's a cruel, isn't it? Small child who is exclusively dependent on the mother, and that whole shelter is lost. But here he is able to see the hand of Krishna and the grace of Krishna. Tada tadaham ishasya bhaktanam sham abhivsita. Bhaktanam sham abhivsita. The Lord, who is very compassionate and dear to, always concerned about the well-being of devotees, has done this so that I can get completely detached and take shelter of Krishna. After that, what happened is that he intensified his practice and he constantly roamed, constantly thinking about the instructions of Bhaktivedantist. And eventually also Krishna gave darshan, but Krishna didn't completely take him with him. He told that you are not yet perfect. And allowed that karma to exist and the body to continue. but that acted to intensify his separation from Krishna and absorption in Krishna. So Krishna gives this suffering so that we become more intense in our practice. That is applicable for the devotees, a sadhaka also. So when in the sadhaka's life, when Krishna gives the miseries, only sole intention is that one becomes serious in one's practice. That Narad Muni says in Bhakti Sutra, Anya Ashrayanam Tyago Ananyata. So in our life, while practicing Krishna consciousness, also we develop various shelters. That shelter can be financial shelter, that can be our house, property, family, relations, position. So these are all different things, are nothing but the shelters which we have clinged to while at the same time practicing devotional service. And Krishna destroys such shelters, false shelters, crumbles these shelters, and we see them as a suffering. What Krishna wants is that we should turn to Him. Ananya Ashrayanam Tyago. Give up all the shelters and take exclusive shelter of Krishna. That is what Krishna is expecting. And what we are thinking is that Krishna is giving us the suffering. Lord is strict with not only sadhakas, with His pure devotees also. When the gopis became proud that they got the association of Krishna, so immediately Krishna disappeared and they were fall into the intense misery of separation. When the Krishna appeared, then they asked, why you do like this? Why you put your devotees in the suffering? Why do not come to their help when they are asking? Why you behave like this? So then the Krishna says, that naham tu sakhyo bhajato bhijantun bhajami amishan anuvritti vrittaye yatha dhano labda dhane vinashte tachintayanayan nibhrito naveda. Krishna is saying that, but the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of the living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. They then become more, like a poor man who has gained the wealth and the lost, then lost. Then he constantly thinks about the wealth. So Krishna is saying that, therefore I put my devotees into the various kinds of suffering. That makes them, their practice, intense. It is like a parents to the children. Parents are very strict with the children so that they can study. Right? So that they can study. So similarly, Krishna, most compassionate, affectionate parent, he treats his devotees with strictness, both sadhaka and the perfected devotees. Third reason Vishnu Achyut Thakur gives, not to disturb the faith on the other processes. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, na buddhi vedam janayat. One should not disturb those who are attached to the karma and nana and other. Because faith, shraddha mayohi purusha, actually we are composed of faith. Our convictions, our faith is our life. People is building their life, making so much investment, so much energy, based on their convictions and faith. Somebody is working hard to maintain the family. Somebody is working hard to build a business empire. Somebody is making a build, good body build. But when this faith on the body, some disease comes and the faith on the body goes and he's completely crumbled. Right? Business, right? Anything where we are invested, there our faith is there. So similarly, the process which are karma, they have so much faith on the process of karma and the jnana. So not to disturb their faith, just like there is a lot, if someone gets a lottery ticket and he gets a 10 crore in the lottery, his neighbor. Then another neighbor gets, he also gets 10 crore. Third neighbor gets, he also takes 10 crore. Everyone is getting who has taken a ticket, a 10 crore. So what we'll do? We'll stop the job, frantically look for the ticket. Let me get the lottery ticket. But what if the ticket is not available in the market? Then you'll go to lose all the hope. You'll not work for your, whatever you previously do the job, earn something and maintain your family. You'll get, your all enthusiasm to work will be lost. And neither you will get the ticket. Something like this happens. Because bhakti is not by your endeavor you will get. It is by the mercy of Krishna and devotees. So the ticket is not available in the market. Right? And like this, if everyone is getting the lottery 10 crore, so the people don't getting lottery, they will actually feel miserable. They will not able to do what they do also normally. So Krishna is therefore gives this credits 10 crores in the some PF account and like that. Nobody knows how much he has got. Right? So something like this happens. Not to disturb the faith of others, Krishna gives still the sufferings to the devotees. They think, oh, he is also suffering, so there is no point. He is like us only. You know? So in this way, Krishna conceals the glories of pure devotional service. Why he conceals? Because pure devotional service binds him. He is caught by the pure devotional service, so therefore it's very secretive. In the Vedas and the Upanishads and Puranas, where it's very, very secretive. Right? So therefore, here also by giving suffering to devotees, he maintains the secrecy of pure devotional service. Fourth reason Krishna gives is that, Pushna Chaltakur gives is that, to take incarnation. Krishna says ki yada yada idharmasya glanir bhavati bharata tada that time I come tadatmanam sarjamyam. What is the purpose? To paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So here Krishna says I come to protect the saintly devotees, to kill the demons and to establish the dharma. But for establishing dharma, acharyas come, so many devotees can be sent. For killing the demons, there is not a difficult task for Krishna. He can easily kill any, just by the heart attack or any other means. So many means are there, parasparam. Even people are anyway killing each other. So why Krishna has to come for that? Right? So then Krishna comes just for the sadhus, for the devotees. So that when he comes, when devotees call him, if the devotees are complacently happy, they will not call him only. And why he will come? So that therefore, devotees are in misery, they take shelter of Krishna, they intensely call Krishna, and the Krishna appears. Example of Narasingha Dev. Prahlad Maharaj, every time who protected? Krishna only protected, Narasingha only protected him. Right? And he was put in so many difficulties. But that all difficulties, he took shelter of Narasingha, Lord Krishna. And that, when the devotees intensely cry for the Krishna, Krishna takes that opportunity to descend and appear. And when he comes, then that benefits everyone. He kills the demon also, he establishes the dharma also, and whoever takes participate in pastimes, they also get liberated. Right? Similarly, Krishna's appearance, Mother Earth in the form of cow, went to the Lord and begged for the descent. So we see the devotees suffer, but that led to the descent of Krishna, and that actually helped the world also. Another reason is to save devotees from the suffering of, to save the devotees by reciprocating with them. So Krishna comes here, right? So what is the greatest suffering for the devotees is the separation from Krishna. And when Krishna comes, by giving the reciprocation, the various pastimes, he actually relieves this suffering. So Krishna gives the suffering and then he relieves the suffering. So here we can see these are the five reasons why Krishna gives suffering to devotees. Glorify them, intensify their devotional service, then to take incarnation, do not disturb the faith, and then to save devotees from the pangs of separation. So this is like why, just like we can appreciate a sunrise when there is a darkness in the night. Whole night is gone there, then the sunrise is very, very appreciative. When there is a summer, then we can appreciate the rain. Particularly first rain. Right? If really you want to appreciate the first rain, then you have to go through the summer. Otherwise the rain can be a suffering. But the first rain you want to really relish, then you have to go through the suffering of summer season. In the winter you like the hot water, in the summer you like the cold water. So the lamp is appreciated in the darkness. So similarly this devotion shines forth when there is a suffering. In the suffering this devotion stands apart. It's like a sugar cane juice. You offer lemon and the salt. That actually adds to the flavor of the juice. So when devotees think this suffering are coming from karma, because of my bad actions I am suffering, so they become very humble and they completely, exclusively take shelter of Krishna. Helplessly call out the Lord, and that gives the Krishna the ecstasy. But you don't do everything. So then again Krishna puts us in difficulty. That makes us helpless. Again we depend on Krishna and call out to Krishna, and that gives Krishna another ecstasy. Like that. So in this way, so these sufferings actually assisting us in our relationship with Krishna. So it is a language of love of Krishna actually. If you want to develop love with Krishna, better to understand the language in which He reciprocates with us. This is the languages He speaks. And Krishna clearly says, I am a very difficult person. He says that to Yudhishthira Maharaj, He says, it is very difficult to worship Me and please Me. So therefore there are other alternatives. But if you want to worship Me, this is the way I deal. Right? So, but the sufferings which Krishna gives, they are followed by the nectarian shower of His bhakti rasa or melos or the sweet juice in the practice of Krishna consciousness. And anyone who experiences that, then he says, whatever has happened, that was the best thing what has happened to me. Just like Kunti Maharani. Kunti Maharani just seeing the darshan of Krishna, she is so blissful that every time when I am in suffering, Krishna comes and saves me. And that happiness which is derived from that darshan is so much that she wants those suffering again and again and again. If you notice that the sufferings which Kunti Maharani says, not any time actually Krishna directly came. Vishan, when poison was given, Krishna was not there. To Bhima, when Krishna didn't come personally there. Mahagne, when they were about attempted to be burned, Krishna was not there. Purushad, when Hidimba attacked, Krishna was not there. So, but she is able to see Krishna's hand in all the sufferings which were there happened to her and family. So, for us also, till the point we are able to see the Krishna's hand in all the sufferings, then there is a pleasure because we are able to see this is the loving hand behind. And that gives us the ecstasy. That is what the bhakti ras we need to experience in the suffering. Thank you very much for your patient hearing. If any question, comments are there, then I can take.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for the nice class. So, sometimes, you know, we see devotees are actually having a lot of opulences, and yet they are practicing Krishna consciousness very nicely. So, although it is easy for us to see the hand of Krishna in suffering, how does one see the hand of Krishna in the opulences that devotees possess? So, just wanted that clarification.
So the how to see the hand of Krishna in the opulences. Yudhishthira Maharaj example we take. So the after the Krishna, the cause of opulences for Yudhishthira Maharaj was also Krishna. It was not that when they won, they thought that because our strength, when the suffering came, that is given by Krishna. Right? Cause of their victory was also Krishna. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it appeared that Arjuna is the all and all. He has killed so many warriors, he is the hero, all everything. But at the end what happened? Small cowherd boys. When Krishna was taking all the wives of Krishna to the Hastinapur, at that time he could not even defend them from the cowherd people. Right? Same arrows, same Arjuna. So here clearly shows that what was happening with the Pandavas, even their success was due to Krishna. Even the success was due to Krishna. So just like the miseries we think happening because of me, my karma, similarly we may mistake that the success which is coming is also because of me, because of my actions. But actually what is happening is that the Krishna is actually orchestrating both success and failure. Then one may ask, kisi ko success, kisi ko failure, how it is? Somebody is going through failure, somebody is going through difficulties. So the Krishna's intentions, nobody can understand. Tasmadidam devatantram. This is the desire of Krishna and nobody can understand why He gives someone suffering and someone happiness. One can know His effects, yasyanubhavu. One can understand how he reacts. But why he reacts, nobody can understand. Like that. When Yashoda Maa is like, want to bind Krishna, he reacts in a certain way. But that we can see. But you don't know why he is doing like that. So every activities of Krishna are like that. We can see the his activities. But why he is doing so, that we can confidently conclude. Even the acharyas also get bewildered. They also think that we can't understand completely why Krishna is doing what he is doing. So yes, that's the fact. Even the success, opulence, everything which is happening in the life of devotee is due to Krishna. And we are supposed to see the hand of Krishna in the both misery and in the happiness. When we see the hand of Krishna, then we receive that taste or that bhakti rasa. We can see because we are connecting to Krishna, both our happiness and misery. Does it make sense, Lord? Let's stop here. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kanantara Ashram Bhagavatam ki jai.